Tupley?
Here.
Very good, thank you, sir. Commissioner Velarde, looks like you're there, present?
Here.
Commissioner Marshall?
Present.
Thank you, Lindy. And Commissioner Brayback, you're attending virtually, I believe?
I am, and I'm here as well.
Okay, very good. And we know that Commissioner Taggart has an excused absence this evening. So that concludes, we have six members in attendance. Very good. Thank you all for attending. Our roll call for our staff, please.
Sure. This is Angela. In the conference room, we have Dylan Pepperline, Shayla Flesh, and Cameron Reese. And online, I believe we have Ben Peck. We also have Colin Bible, our contractor with Garver.
Very good. And it looks like we also have attending virtually our counsel, Dan Reimer. Thank you, Dan, for being here. Appreciate that. And a few other of our consultants and professionals are attending via virtual Zoom call as well. All right, very good. Let's see, could we do a Pledge of Allegiance? Would that be the next item on our agenda this evening? Cameron, would you lead us with that?
Absolutely. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate that. All right. First item on our agenda is approve the board agenda this evening. There's a couple of items on the agenda, I believe. Maybe you can share that on the screen for everybody to see. Commissioner comments, citizen comments. Action item this evening for our grant application of 1230, grading and drainage, and
that's good.
Sorry. Sorry.
This is a test to see how well we do virtually.
I think we need you in person.
Sarah's on vacation, in case you can't tell. We're making it work over here.
Okay. No worries.
We just need you in person, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit here on this issue. That's all right. I'll bring this up here in just a second.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, here we go. So our agenda this evening includes an action item for the grant application for $20 million. The $20 million for the middle of the FAA, runway 1230, and the drainage construction. And then item number B is our not laboratory task order. Number one, to design airfield improvements, which is a relatively small cost, but it is an integral stairway at the airport at $21,000. Then we'll have discussion on the bus tank service at Grand Junction Airport out there and any other business that may come before the board. So those are our action items this evening. Let's see, Commissioner Velarde, would you, let me first ask, back up, staff, do you have any changes to the agenda this evening?
No, we do not.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, any other items or that are on the agenda that don't have anything consent, I think we're probably okay, right? Okay, so Commissioner Velarde, would you be willing to offer a motion to approve the agenda as presented this evening?
Yes, I would, Chairman. I would ask the board to make a motion to approve the August 3rd, 2021 board agenda.
I will second that motion.
Thank you, Lindy. It's been moved by Commissioner Velarde, seconded by Commissioner Marshall. Thank you for that. Further discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, we'll do a quick roll call approval for the agenda. Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Aye.
Commissioner Brayback?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Commissioner Benton approves as well. So the motion carries. Thank you this evening. All right, any commissioner comments this evening? What do you see out the window? Is there lots of airplanes on the tarmac? Is that taxiway completed or the ramp completed out there? It looks normal. Activity looks normal at the airport, right? Very good. Okay. Thank you, for getting out the information in advance. Staff, appreciate all the activity there. So we're in good shape. Anything else from commissioners this evening? Okay. Do we have any citizen comments, Cameron?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have not had any citizen comments, and we do have the public comment cards here as well, as you requested last meeting.
Very good, thank you. And did any of the cards get filled out?
No, that we have no cards that are filled out.
Okay, nothing electronically or physically. Thank you, Cameron.
Correct.
Appreciate that. That will conclude our comments for this evening. Obviously, if anybody's listening in here, the airport is interested to know what our community is thinking, what opportunities that they wish to address, and that this does on our agenda each time provide that opportunity to share your thoughts. So, thank you. Let's just go ahead and jump into the action items this evening. Angela Padalecki, do you want to start us off with that?
Actually, Colin will be presenting both action items tonight.
Okay. I knew you were going to introduce Colin, since I'm not there.
Yes.
Hey, good evening.
Colin, are you there?
I am. I'm
physically?
I am. I'm in the corner, though. You maybe can't see.
Okay, we can't,
come sit next to you.
Yeah, come sit up front.
Can you sit beside Cameron so we can see you, for those of us that are watching?
We're going to move him up front and just sit in the chairman's seat real quick. He's a coming.
All
this
right.
is a fun meeting.
Very good.
It's really fun.
All right.
Thank you, Colin.
You bet.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it.
So the first action item is for the grant application for the runway 1230 grading and drainage package construction. So everyone's seen a version of this slide for the last 6 months, and that's because Mead and Hunt has worked really hard to get a design package out so that we could hopefully capture an end-of-the-year grant. FAA grant. So the other side of that is we actually have to apply for the grant. So they got to the finish line. We've opened bids. We're in the process. We received 5 good-looking bids on the surface. We've still got to go through that process. But on the back end, we actually need to submit an FAA grant to the FAA. They came up with this $20 million amount. It really represents kind of the top end of what they could envision potentially funding. Now, this is no guarantee that they'll fund the whole $20 million, but it's kind of an upper limit on what could be possible. So the number comes from them, and this is simply getting it out there so that we have an opportunity to capture that funding.
Mm. So, Colin, in your professional opinion, since you're beginning to get an indication of bid numbers, the assumption is that most of the bids will come in equal to or less than this number?
Yes, we've received bids. They would, assuming that they are all qualified, there's a whole back-end process for that, but assuming that they're qualified, yes, we would fit within this number. But, again, that there's no guarantee that, just to make sure we're all on the same page, there's no guarantee that we'll receive this full amount. It's just a placeholder amount. But to answer your question, yes. They should fit within this grant total.
Is there a deadline for the grant?
Yeah, it's soon, right? I mean, there's a reason
yeah.
we had this.
So, basically where we're at in the process, we've applied for grants this year and we've been awarded those grants already. So they needed us to submit this application as soon as possible because it's really the last, there's kind of 2 final check boxes, if you will, within that FAA process that they need to check off in order to start, putting together an actual grant for us. So one is, they need us to actually apply for said grant. So that's where this $20 million number really is a placeholder and absolutely represents the cap of what they think they could fund. The likely amount is less than that, but this represents that limit. But the second checkbox they need to check is, the reason why you have to have bids in hand in order to get a grant award is the FAA does not provide grants based on estimates at all, right? We have to have those bid amounts, and then they're going to give us a grant that corresponds to the lowest qualified bid. So we don't get to choose which bid it goes to. We, all of the control that the airport has is on the front side in the procurement to say, how do we make it clear to prospective bidders what this project is and what the requirements are, so that they can submit qualified bids and the engineers go through to make sure that the bids actually met all the requirements that were in the bid documents.
Okay.
Then the low qualified bid is who gets the award, and that's prescribed by the FAA. So when it comes to timeline, we're kind of in that, we're getting ready to be in that very fast lane, right? So we're going to apply for this grant. They told us, unfortunately, they told us right after our last board meeting, hey, we need you to submit this application. So that we really appreciate commissioners' willingness to have a special board meeting for this, but they need this as soon as possible so they can start actually putting the grants together. They're at that stage where they're like, okay, what projects are happening this year? What money has been returned to us? You know, this is at a national level. And, you know, okay, what projects are ready and where should this money go? And so, you know, we're in that, we're inches away from our project being ready so that they can actually put a grant, they can really, you know, petition on our behalf at a national level to try to obtain as much funding as possible for us. When it comes to the grant timing, you know, should we be awarded an end of year grant, that will likely be in mid to late September, and it has to be fully executed by the end of September. So we're working closely with the FAA. I think what's likely to happen is if they believe that we're going to get an end of year grant, they will get us draft language in probably early September so that you all can approve that draft language, even if they haven't sent us the formal grant yet. The language in the agreement will be the same, so that, you know, ideally you all have already approved that grant, we're anticipating that grant, and, you know, Tom can then just sign it, and, you know, we'll be working with the co-sponsors because they'll have to sign as well. So, sorry, I know that's a little bit longer answer than, you know, the question you asked, but just to let everyone know, to orient you where we are in the process, you know, I love to use that Domino's pizza example. It's like everyone wants to know where we're at with the pizza. It's like, you know, we've almost ordered the pizza, you know. So, you know, we're hoping that we get the size pizza that we're ordering, but we don't know. So that's where we're at. But, you know, it's, I know in years past, sometimes it's felt rushed when we get to this stage. And, you know, this one will absolutely feel that way. But I know that you all understand that it's worth it. Not only do we just need to continue to pull in money to see this project come to fruition, and, you know, we're all excited to start moving dirt for the runway itself. Mm-hmm. But the other piece is, you know, this year's money comes with no matching requirement from the airport. So, you know, every dollar we receive, you know, we realize a 10% financial benefit ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you. That was really helpful.
Questions for Colin or Angela this evening. And Angela, I'm not sure everybody's microphones are a little bit differently, but I think we're hearing you that the airport's match would not be required for this grant should be awarded to us.
That's correct. So if we get this grant award this year, no matter what, we need a grant award for this work. What you have before you is an application to scoop up as much end of year grant funding for this work as possible, up to and potentially all three phases that we bid out. Whatever is awarded will require no match. Whatever they're unable to award, we will, we anticipate getting awarded next year during that their funding process, and we do expect that we'll have to pay our 10%.
Okay, so next year.
Yeah,
okay.
Next year.
Thank you for that summary, Angela, appreciate that. Questions from commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, this is Erling. I have just a quick question regarding the sheet number 25 that's enclosed in the board package. I assume that's an older sheet since it's dated in 2019. So my question is, hopefully it's an older one, what the purpose of that sheet is. Is that just to show the FAA the master layout of the airport, or what was the purpose of that big sheet at the end of the package?
Oh, the airport, the map.
We don't have sheet 25 pulled up, so let us pull that up, but we also have Jeremy on the line. I don't know if Jeremy has it pulled up.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the airport property map.
You can just go to GJ Airport.
That's the Exhibit A drawing, Commissioner.
Okay.
That drawing is specifically required as part of the grant submittal, and it just shows a current designation for airport parcels and their status in terms of aeronautical or non-aeronautical commitments for the long-term planning of the airport.
Okay, And it's okay since it's a different design display in that exhibit to include that in a bid for a different design, I guess. I just want to make sure I understand what it is we're applying for, which I recognize what you have up on the screen at the airport, but I don't quite recognize that exhibit as it puts the runway almost a mile in between the two of them.
That the graphic for the pavement on that exhibit represents the an ultimate long-term plan for development where a second runway would be required as a result of increased capacity needs are far outside of the current runway program. So if you look, there is actually both conditions, the existing runway with the runway program that we're currently pursuing, and then it does show that extended secondary runway, and that's really just a long-term planning document just to show what parcels would be impacted.
Yep, I see that, and thank you so much for clarifying that.
Additional questions for Colin or Jeremy? Well, significant appreciation, Colin and Jeremy, to your managing this. It seems to me like you're on the front end of this process for grant applications for this year as the FAA looks at monies they're going to have leftover opportunities for us to secure some monies going forward with the grading and draining package. It feels, and you can correct me, but it feels like we're leading the pack, if you will, for getting our foot in the door for opportunities. Looks to me like we're going to be prepared for this. When do we think our timing might be, since we're going fishing for funds, and we might land something? What would be your estimate?
September.
So far we expect that this grant will come in pretty late. So at the earliest, I think it'll be mid-September, and you know, it could likely be late September, Tom. So should we be awarded this grant, there's a chance we'll need a special board meeting to approve it as well.
Okay.
That money disappears on September 30th, or I guess October 1st, you know, midnight.
Yeah, my sense is that airports need to be very responsive when the FAA says, yep, we've approved your bid for this project. You have X number of days to accept it. Okay, thank you. All right, that then provides us the opportunity for a motion. Oh, let me ask, is there further discussion on this item before we go? Let's go to the proper Roberts rules. I will entertain a motion for this action item A, approval of runway 1230 grading drainage package construction, authorizing executive director to sign the AIP grant application for $20 million for submittal to the FAA for runway 1230 grading and drainage construction. Commissioner Marshall, would you be willing to offer that motion?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make a motion to authorize the executive director to sign the AIP grant application for $20 million for submittal to the FAA for the runway 1230 grading and drainage construction.
Thank you. Commissioner Schrader, would you be willing to offer a second?
I'll second that.
Very good. Thank you. Now further discussion. Hearing none, let's go ahead for a roll call vote. Commissioner Tuffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Brayback.
And if I could find the right button, aye as well.
Thank you. Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde.
Aye.
And Chair votes in approval as well. Thank you for that. Thanks for the presentation. I know there's a lot more work behind this than kind of what we spent the time on. Again, Colin, thank you, and Jeremy, for your efforts to keep us in the lead and in the hunt for funds as we try to be expeditious about moving our runway project along, because we know time is money associated with this project. So thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right, item number B, not laboratory task order number one. Colin, are you doing this one also?
Yes, sir. So.
Okay, so you're gonna help us repair the stairs out there?
No, I'm just here to facilitate. The folks at Knott Laboratories are gonna help both of these items. So there's actually two items in this task order. The first, what you see in these pictures they're the stairs outside of gate two. These are just some photos. You can see the cracking and the weathering. They're old. They're pretty, and they're not in very good shape. They've been through a lot of freeze-thaw cycles and a lot of, you know, compound to de-ice, and it's taken a toll on this facility, the ramp and the stairs. And so this task order is for the design for Knott Laboratories to basically take this staircase and just rebuild a new one, design a new facility. And so there's a couple of parts to that. It's got to be ADA compliant. It has to meet all the local codes. It's not just a staircase and a ramp. We just rebuild what was there if it was. It also ties into the actual terminal building itself currently. And so you also need to really take into consideration how that's demolished so you don't create damage. And we felt like Knott Laboratories would be the perfect partner to do that. And they're already working out here with FCI. So that's the first part of the task order. And then the second part of the task order is, this is an area outside of gate six. If you look on the picture on your left, you can see that thin little run of, it's cracked concrete basically. And so what you're seeing is concrete that's been repaired probably three or four different times. Mm-hmm. Now the reason that's happening, we believe, if you see in the right picture, you see that same distress. It's a little zoomed out, so you may have to squint, but underneath that actual damaged area, there's a piece of retaining wall. And that retaining wall creates a stress, it creates a differential movement, and so it settles differently, and back and forth over time as it gets hot and cold, it fractures. And so these repairs they're temporary at best. The airport's done a good job of trying to maintain it and keep it from being a tripping hazard, but they decided it was time to call in the experts. So the first part of this task order, the one we're talking about today, is to do a surface repair on the top. And that's going to be something, hopefully, that can be implemented soon to remove the tripping hazard. At some point in the future, hopefully in the next few months, we'll bring another task order to actually do a design for the underlying cause of the problem, which is that retaining wall. That won't be in today's task order. Today's task order is to fix the immediate issue. But longer term, we want to fix the actual problem instead of just continuing the Band-Aid it.
Colin, I have a quick question for you. That picture on the right, it looks like it's two pictures almost, and that the retaining wall is cutting it in half, but it's just one?
Yeah, so what you see kind of dividing the picture is the retaining wall, and then that wall sits on top of another wall. And that wall that's underneath it runs directly underneath that issue.
Okay.
Does that make
yes,
more sense?
Yes, absolutely. And that second task order would be that wall that we're staring at.
So, yeah, a future task order will be
right.
That wall. Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Okay.
So, two parts. The first part's the stairs we looked at. The second part is the surface repairs to remove the tripping hazard.
Thank you.
So, that's what I had prepared. Any questions on that I can answer?
Oh, and this is early. It looks like that wall, or maybe it's just because of a lens distortion, but almost looks like it's bowing in the middle towards picture left. Is that what's going on there?
I think there is a little bit of that. I think if you were looking at it out in the field, I think you would see the same thing. That wall has been there for years and years, and there are some underlying issues. So the future task order that we've tasked Knott Labs to come up with is going to take a bigger holistic view. I think there's a lot of movement going on out there, and I mean, they're structural engineers and they know a lot more about it than any of the rest of us, but yeah, you can see that in the field also.
Roger that, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lindy. Are you on mute accidentally?
Sorry about that, Lindy.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess my question, Colin, is under your professional expertise, as you look at these two or three situations, given our soil conditions, our temperatures, our weather, is it reasonable to assume that the final product, after it's in place, will be less prone or eliminate these structural cracks and fractures? Is it, do we have the science and technology available to us so we, so future boards won't see this request again?
With this task order, the answer is definitely no. There, so the stairs, that can be fixed and last for a full service life, 20, 30 years, and probably not have any issues. The cracking on the other slide, what Knott Labs is proposing is going to be a temporary solution. It'll be definitely more permanent, hopefully, than what's been done in the past, because it's just a patch with over-the-counter materials, and they're going to do their best to span it and come up with a little bit more permanent solution. But I think the answer to your question, really, Tom, is really regarding that next task order, which is a more holistic view and looking at what's underneath it. I don't know. I think that, I mean, nothing lasts forever. So, I don't know that there's any solution that will never have a problem, but I definitely think they can create a solution that it's not likely to have this issue ever happen again, you know, where it's a tripping hazard in this location. I mean, I think that's really the point of it, is to, you know, some settlement's going to happen, some hot, cold's going to happen. You can eliminate enough of it that it doesn't cause a structural distress, which is what they'll try to do. I don't know if that's a very good answer or not. I hate to speak. I don't know. I don't think Stan's on the call, but he'd probably be mad at me if I said that there's no way it's ever going to be damaged ever again. It's over time, things move no matter what you do. So I do think they can come up with a solution that gives it a normal service life, though, instead of a temporary every 6 month repair.
Your answer was where I was headed with that, is that's the second phase of this, given the fact that we can kind of build buildings to withstand earthquakes. Do we now have technology here that will reduce the separation between structures, flat structures, and some of this other that we're seeing? So hopefully we get to see something creative. I'm sure the airport folks are always a little bit disappointed when the materials fail, maybe prior to what expectations were. So we'll look forward to the more creative solutions forthcoming. Okay. Any other questions for Colin?
Thank you.
It's, I lost my spot. Thank you very much for putting that up. I'd entertain a motion for item number B.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Schrader. I make a motion that we authorize the Executive Director to accept the engineering proposal in terms of engagement with Knott Laboratories for a total cost of $21,000 to complete a design to repair the concrete stairs and ramp outside gate number 2 and a temporary repair on the gate number 6 ground boarding pathway.
Thank you. That is pretty strong for a guy that's been traveling for 48 hours. Appreciate that. Is there a second?
This is Ron. Second.
Thank you, Ron. It's been moved and seconded. We'll do a quick roll call. Actually, let me first ask further discussion. Hearing none, we'll do a quick roll call for approval. The motion is presented. Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde.
Aye.
Commissioner Brayback.
Aye.
Commissioner Tuffley.
Aye.
And Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Chair votes in approval as well. Thank you. Appreciate the presentations this evening on that call. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item on the agenda this evening is the bus tank service at Grand Junction Airport.
Great.
And
thanks.
Angela, will you be chairing? Very good.
Oh, yeah. So this is listed as discussion tonight because I just wanted to bring the board up to speed with where we're at and working with CDOT and bus tank to expand their service to include Grand Junction Regional Airport. Small group at the airport, mostly Sarah and Dan, with a little bit of help from me, but really only a little, have been working with CDOT for most of the summer to come up with a plan that's going to work well for everyone. And, you know, we have an IGA that is inches away from the finish line that we think will really work contractually to support what we're trying to achieve here, and hoping that that will come to you at the August board meeting. So that way we have a contractual relationship to really support the service we're talking about. So taking a step back, CDOT is really looking at adding two routes out of Grand Junction Regional Airport. One of them you see on the screen up here, and that is the Outrider route is what they call it. So that is service along the western slope of Colorado. The primary purpose of this service is actually to provide affordable access for transportation to get quality medical care. As you all know, that's an important priority on the western slope, and you know the medical care providers are heavily concentrated in the more in the bigger cities like ours. And so that service, that's why you see fares as low as $4 up to $11, and the timing of the routes is such to try to provide ample time for folks who are traveling into Grand Junction to really be able to make their medical appointments and things. Mm-hmm. So of course this will also support the tourism and just transportation needs overall to improve easy access along the western slope. But I did want to add that context because I think it's important, the healthcare benefit, because it really drives a lot of the why. When you look at the stops, it includes St. Mary's, it includes the VA hospital, and when you look at the timing and things, I think all of it makes more sense when you look at it with that intention in mind. The other route will be expanding the route that goes from Denver all the way to Grand Junction Regional Airport. Now, none of these routes will replace the existing routes that go downtown. These are enhancements to those routes and really adding the airport as a stop there. We're really excited about this for a number of reasons. I think it's easy to think through the benefit to travelers and things, but from a staffing perspective, it's really important as well. You know, airports employ a lot of people, as you all know, and oftentimes, you know, the wage ranges for those folks is wide, and with that wide range, you need to have a wide set of transportation options as well. And so I think that this is a great enhancement that's going to provide long-term benefit to the airport and to the communities along the I-70 corridor and down the western slope. So I don't have a lot of additional details to share. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I let you all know that this has been in the works, and we're close enough now to making it happen that, you know, it just seemed time for us to discuss it briefly. We don't have all the details, but we have enough to feel confident that, you know, this is happening, and we're really excited.
Pretty cool. Did you say how many days of the week they would be doing those service handles?
So it's intended to be daily service, but right now it looks like by daily it'll be Monday through Friday. But I think, you know, those are the kind of details that I think we could see changes. You know, we could even see changes based on seasons, and then especially they're out to Denver, obviously, the I-70 corridor, I anticipate will absolutely impact that service and what they do with that overall. You know, I think that the airport's a tiny, tiny element of that, but you know, the decisions that are made on that I-70 corridor will impact this service, I think.
Did you look at the stops that they do in Grand Junction? It looks like the bus station, St. Mary's Medical Center, the VA, and the airport. Any chance they could stop at Carver Mesa University?
I don't know. I'm happy to raise that as a question for them, because I think that's a good thought. One thing I will add when it comes to the location of where they'll be coming at the airport, we are going, you know, we have adequate space to accommodate GBT as well as busing down in that existing busing area. And given the GBT connectivity to CMU, at least it'll be easy connections, since GBT connects well from the university into St. Mary's and into the airport. But we'll certainly raise that as a question and a possibility, Tom.
I just think of ridership, when you think of ridership, a large population of folks, and certainly they have a couple of them figured out for transient folks. I mean, people needing transportation, I should say, at the bus station, at the airport, and to some degree the medical centers that are there. So, and certainly your point's well taken, GBT facilitates comments for Angela on this for discussion?
I think it's easy to think of kind of the endpoints, but what has been really fun and exciting for us, you know, operating a bus stop where buses fly, is that, you know, look at all the stops in between. You know, it's just so fun getting to look at the bus route. And that's really, I want commissioners to know that a lot of the focus is on the everything in between those. It's not those endpoints, which I think is pretty cool.
Do we know what the passenger capacity is of a bus thing? Is that a 50, 40 passenger bus or?
I don't know. And I'm not, you know, they contract with a lot of different busing companies, so I think there might even be variability in that fleet, Tom, much like you see, you know, with those regional aircraft that kind of look and feel the same. If you can think back to when you were less informed about the airport, you know, those happier days where your Tuesday evenings were not here. But I'm not sure, but I think that sounds about right, Tom.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of info we can get to for when we're ready for you all to take action. And I will try to have someone from CDOT on the line too, so they can answer all your questions. I mean, none of us are going to pretend to be experts on busing, but we are really excited to add this enhancement for our travelers and for the community.
Yeah.
On that note, the IGA does not, you know, it offers, they will not be paying us a fee for this, and that is consistent with what we do with GBT. We do not charge those those public ground transportation providers like we charge the private companies. So just so you all know and aren't surprised by that when we come to you.
That sounds like a bit of a common practice for airports. Would that be a true statement, or is this an exception?
That's a true statement, Tom. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's airports that do charge for it, but you know, it's very common to offer that public transportation connectivity free of charge because, frankly, it's in the airport's best interest to make the airport easy to access for travelers and for employees.
That's a nice overview, Angela. Appreciate that. This will be coming, do you think, in the August or September board meeting?
We're hopeful it'll be the August board meeting. You know, they're talking about adding service. You know, the service could start that same week of the board meeting. And so, you know, the IGA, we're not going to have the IGA hold up the start of service. You know, we're comfortable with those having a little bit of overlap. It's not like this grant application where we can't push the button until you approve it. It'll just formalize that arrangement. So hopefully in August, Tom, and we're just trying to help them get started as soon as they're ready.
Very good. Has anybody ridden the Mustang service? The staff or?
No.
That's embarrassing. I used to work at CDOT and I've never ridden it.
Well, it was relatively new when you were there,
thank
right?
You,
so,
thank you.
It was a pilot program.
Okay. Well, that concludes, I think, our discussion on the service coming to Grand Junction. We'll look forward to a little more details and footnotes coming in August and seeing how that serves our Western Colorado communities. That'll be good. Anything else for the board this evening? Any other business that commissioners or staff wish to present this evening? Hearing none, entertain a motion for adjournment. Commissioner Velarde, would you be willing to offer that?
Chairman, I'd be glad to offer that we make a motion to adjourn.
May I second that, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely. We'll just go ahead with an informal. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for your attendance and the information. And it was a pretty significant meeting in the fact that we're getting this runway 1230 grading going. So thank you for your attendance.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you,
Tom.